got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USC, Compton, Watts, Bay to L.A., Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer Cali. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stale.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
Welcome to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, a production of iHeartRadio and Black Effect Podcast Network. Make sure you download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles. For my Apple users, hit the purple mic on your front screen, subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles, and leave a 5-star rating and comment. This episode is about a powerful substance that impacted lives in every city across the United States. I'm talking about crack cocaine. For those that don't know what crack is, let me give you the definition. Crack, also known as rock, is coke in a freebase form that's smoke. Crack gives the user a short, intense high. It's the most addictive form of cocaine because it leaves the user chasing that first incredible high. But as we learn, the more that they smoke, the shorter the high, creating a full-fledged crack addict. Crack started off as a widespread recreational drug around 1984. And because it was cheap to attain, places like LA, San Francisco, Miami, New York City, Oakland, and other major cities became the epicenter for what would later be called the crack epidemic. Now, as I mentioned earlier, it was cheap. In the 80s, you could see the visible impact that the drug had on the neighborhood from both a social and economic standpoint. You didn't need to be a marketing guru to sell crack because it literally sold itself. The cost of a single rock ranged from $5 to $20 in price on average, creating ample opportunity for young entrepreneurs, mostly just young black males looking to change their circumstances. But this became more than just a way to pick up some extra small change. In the 80s, it was easy for a young dealer to clock anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 daily. And like the late great Notorious B.I.G. once said, more money, more problems. You saw the level of violence escalate from hearing the occasional 38 go off late at night. to hearing fully automatic weapons ring out. It became big business. The dealer and the youth usually shared the same community. So often you had situations like a dealer selling to his homeboy's sister or mama. Sometimes you had sexual favors being exchanged. So you could see how some problems could pop off behind something like this. You know, your homeboy knocking down your moms and things. But the media also used the crack epidemic to make black folks look crazy as usual. Now, I bet you didn't know that 2/3 of crack's consumers were white. But with images of black crack babies and fiends being shown on American TV screens nightly, it was easy to assume that this was just a problem confined to the hood. Now, crack was used to kick off the so-called war on drugs. Many of you too young to remember Ronald Reagan, but he was OG Mr. Let's Make America Great Again. Also during this period, you had Scarface, which detailed the rise of an immigrant washing dishes at a taco stand to become one of the world's biggest drug dealers hit theaters. So this was the perfect opportunity to demonize the hood. Law enforcement began to treat black drug addicts like criminals, locking them up rather than getting them treatment. Then in 86, Congress pushed the Anti-Drug Abuse Act through that literally said 100 grams of powder and a gram of crack would get the same sentence. If you think I'm on some bullshit, in 1980, the total prison population was around 300,000. Now it's damn near 2.1 million. So who the fuck fooling who? It's the Gangsta Chronicles. We'd like to welcome everyone to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. You know the podcast that keeps it true to the streets, and I'm with my dogs.
Big J.
Yeah.
And tonight, fellas, I want to talk about the 80s. 1988, to be exact. And that's a significant time I think, for so many reasons. For me, that was almost the start of the crack epidemic.
No, way before that, before 88.
Yeah, for me, well, I'm talking about that's, I think that's when it impacted me the most. That's when it kind of started, because I've been hearing about it and stuff like that. Mm. And I think it finally just kind of came to life around me, as far as like when I first saw it, when I first started hearing about why certain people in the neighborhood was falling off. Mm. You know, the brothers that had the good jobs and all that other shit like that, had the good jobs, and all of a sudden they seemed like they doing bad. And I was hearing, man, they smoking that pipe, they hitting that crack, you know what I'm saying?
Well, 88, that's pretty much damn near the ass end of it. Like, when it was really popping, 88, I came home from prison in 88. It wasn't selling like it was cracking 82, 83, 84, 85. Mm. It wasn't cracking like that. 83, that's when we first was up on it. That's when we was first tripping off people, because, you know, some motherfuckers roll a dollar and they was snorting and shit. We didn't know motherfuckers putting it in the pipe and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. So, like, my uncles, you know, they were snorting and shit. You know, when we first got introduced to it, the hood got first introduced to it. So, you know, as the years went on, you know, you seen your uncles and other people fall off, lose their jobs, and you seen niggas come up, new cars and shit, because, mm-hmm. you know, before you knew it, a motherfucker was getting credit. And before you get your paycheck, you already in a hole $500-$600.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it was a tough time.
It was once said by a man who couldn't quit. Dark man, please, can I have another hit? The dark man said, I don't give a shit if your girl kneeled down and sucked my...
Man, I saw cats lose cars. I saw cats lose their apartments. I saw cats getting their apartments turned into dope spots. You know what I mean?
Right.
Cats that had nice cribs. I'm talking about next thing you know, this the spot. This niggas riding around mama's car. You hear about certain mamas in the neighborhood. Don't suck the homie off. Just foul shit. You know what I mean?
Well, that was a way for us with transportation shit.
Smokers' cars?
Yeah, you rent you a smoker's car and shit for that piece and shit. You get to ride around, go take care of your errands, do what you got to do, take your girl out, especially if you didn't have a whip at the time.
Shit, so, keep 108. Niggas was using smoker cars to go do drive-bys and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, man.
You know, a 10-piece, give a motherfucker a dime or a dub.
Dime or dub piece, man, you get his car for crack. All night.
On crack.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, in the hood, we had the homies, some homies didn't give a fuck who they sold to, you know, and, you know, right now today, you still got homies still stuck on that shit. Ain't no way out. You know what I'm saying? Sleeping in parks or downtown somewhere. It fucked up a lot of people. But, you know, like myself and some of the other homies that was, you know, testing that shit and trying it out, like, what's the hype? You know, motherfuckers was smoking Primos. You know what I'm saying? And drinking that A-ball. You know, us, we used to go to the Vermont Drive-In and everybody used to just kick it and bam. Then certain motherfuckers start going to prison. Mm-hmm. Prison saved some of these niggas' lives off of that cocaine. And they came home cool. Some motherfuckers went to jail behind cocaine and came home and went right back to it. And today, there's no respect for that dude in the hood whatsoever, regardless of what he did and, you know, what he put in the hood. The respect level is gone. And these youngsters today, jumping on them, disrespecting them to the fullest. So, yeah, cocaine, it still exists and it's still fucking them up.
Yeah, so you think it's still guys stuck on crack in the neighborhoods today?
Yeah, right now in the day, they still stuck.
Damn, who's selling crack today, though, dog?
Everybody.
Shit.
Motherfuckers are still making their little odds and ends off cocaine.
Some of my closest niggas is still doing their thing. I mean, it's just something that, you know, that's just it's just overwhelmed their situation to where they feel like, you know, it's what I do. You get me? Mm-hmm. Like, no, they not on the motherfucking worldwide baller status and driving around with some of these niggas is just on it because, shit, I ain't trying to go get no 9 to 5.
It maintains who they are, mm-hmm. their status, keeping money in their pocket. So motherfuckers do it. A lot of the brothers in the hood don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they got weed, marijuana dispensaries all over the place, you still got cats out there selling weed. Their bags are bigger because they gotta be. But, you know what I'm saying? Some of us don't have a choice. That's the only way of making money, making ends meet.
And it might sound simple enough to go out and get a motherfucking job right now, everybody hiring, you know, but it's some nigga stuck in the system of that, you know, the neighborhood or that hustle. Mm-hmm. That's what it is to me. A lot of niggas is stuck in the hustle mentality, and it's a way for them to keep that the light bill paid.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
You know, the gas bill paid. Fuck it.
It's just crazy because I was thinking about it earlier, right? Because I saw something. I was looking at snowfall. And that's what made, that's when I hit you and I was like, man, I kind of want to talk about the 80s.
Right.
You know, when crack first hit, you know, on Snowfall, they show the whole thing. It ain't nothing but Freeway Rick's story about how he met up with the guy, the Blandone dude, and got the plug on the cocaine. And I think they was getting it for $8,000 a key or something crazy like that, you know? And he made millions upon millions of dollars. And I just thought about it and I said, man, because the thing I liked about Snowfall is they showed, they just not on there glorifying it, they show how the neighborhood went from a place to where it was kind of cool, but then it just turned bigger. Motherfuckers, machine guns, they went from holding a 22 to now they got an AK-47.
Right.
Now they got just big ass shit because they got all this money, right?
Now back then, I was in the eighth grade stack. My niggas, my age was getting paid already. Yeah, like that nigga Sam, or even Young Blue. They make their first make it for the age of 22. Like Dan from Cedar Block, him and Little Motor. James from Piru Street with the holders. Rest in peace, Little Noopy, he didn't have to brag. Rolling to the 10th grade in a Fendt or Rag. Well, goddamn, how can I be damned? I asked my sister Jack for some help, and she told me, look around, nigga, they don't sell dope. It sells itself. Why they kick back and just collect the wealth? And now I'm thinking, ain't nothing fly about these dirty-ass baggies. T-shirt, ginger, pro wings, tacky. This could be a way for me to flip that little funky $20 that I earned. Right then is when I learned that.
So, James, you said it came through earlier. Do you remember the first time you heard of this stuff called crack?
Yeah, when it came out, some people in the neighborhood burglarized the house and came up. I'm talking about big bags like this. And the first time I seen motherfuckers rocking that shit in a miner's jar and twirling it and putting it on the stove and rocking it up is one of my OGs, rest in peace, named World. And, you know, if you do it so much without breaking that pressure, the motherfucker blew up. So in our garage, we had paneling on the wall, and we had cocaine all over the place. And niggas, Kenny Tubbs and everybody was scraping the shit off the wall. It was crazy. And he was making cookies. And when they broke that shit down, and we didn't know what the fuck we had, really, because we was giving up big rocks for $200. Shit like this. And it's some cats that took that, what we was selling them, and got rich. We was buying motherfucking 68 Chevys. We wasn't buying the shit that they was getting, but they knew what to do with it. We didn't. So, you know, when it came out, man, and it hit, and it, we went from homies to hating each other. You know what I'm saying? It just tore the hood up. We went from kids hanging out when the streetlights was going off, going in the house, to more drive-bys, more of the homies going from this block to the next block, telling the homies they couldn't sell dope because we wanted it all. This our hood. So the homie that really wasn't gangbanging felt the effect of that shit. You know what I'm saying? We had homies, man, we was just jacking them on GP. You know what I'm saying? Just because. And yeah, it went bad, man. It went bad. It turned the whole hood, and this is in every hood, upside down. Best friends went to enemies. You know what I'm saying? And every time I talk to my homeboy, Master Ron, man, I apologize to him. Because when we got it, this was my ride or die. He was living with me the whole nine. We got both our baby mamas pregnant in the garage at the same time. And when the shit came, I got my sack. Yeah, I left him in the garage. I'm on the block now trying to push this shit. Instead of saying, come on, my nigga, this us. This woo-woo. And I fucked off a good friendship. This is my ride or die homie. But I didn't know. You know, I'm just thinking about self. And that's what niggas do right now in the day. When they get that bag, they don't think about the homie.
No, they most surely don't. They on their way.
Yeah.
And so, but both y'all being from Compton, and I know them two different time periods.
Fucking Future around Compton.
It was damn near. It was basically get rich overnight.
Yeah, it, man.
When it first came.
I got introduced to it.
Young niggas making money.
I mean, I was going to Linwood High School, and I started fucking with a couple of dudes, one of the niggas had a spot. He had a spot on Long Beach Boulevard where all the hotels is.
Mm-hmm.
And right there by the car wash and all that on Long Beach Boulevard. So we used to set up over there and be over there till like 3 o'clock in the morning and motherfucker
selling drugs and pimping.
Nigga, selling drugs like a motherfucker. I didn't know shit. I was a young adolescent kid. When I saw that, niggas get money, and then you start seeing the fruits from what niggas is hustling on the corner every night. You get to see a niggas pull up in the fancy cars with the plush and the Volkswagen Bugs, the Nissan trucks, you know, the El Caminos and all that shit. And I'm like, God damn, where niggas getting this money from? Because, again, I'm still a young kid living at home expecting moms and them to hand me some money for a pair of khakis or whatever. So when niggas was like, nah, nigga, you take $50 and get you a double up.
Steel, James, 8, y'all niggas better give me my $5. I put that on the set. I need to go get me some Warnemera. My motherfucking feet fucking with me. Gangsta Chronicles my ass. Pay Granny her money. This Gangsta Granny. Y'all know me. Where you at?
What's up, everybody? For those that have been listeners of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, you've heard us stress the importance of taking care of your mental health. 2021 hasn't been the easiest year, from the pandemic landing on us like a ton of bricks, losing loved ones, and even the stress of just living day to day. Sometimes difficult to talk about what's going on in your head with loved ones or homies without feeling judged or embarrassed. I have something I want to share with y'all from my personal life. I was recently diagnosed with my own form of mental illness. I would feel like I was on top of the world one minute, then the next minute I would feel like I was trapped inside of a box. It's through the grace of God, therapy, and medication that I could even talk about this for y'all. I don't want to see anyone go through the anguish of dealing with their issues alone, and you don't have to. That's why this episode's sponsor, BetterHelp, is so important. If something is interfering with your happiness to prevent you from achieving goals, check out BetterHelp.com/GC101. BetterHelp will help assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. For those without insurance, it's even more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. And anything that you share is confidential. You can start communicating with a licensed professional therapist under 48 hours. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/GC101. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GC101.
Where are you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit and blaze up some Warnemera.
So yeah, for real. At that time, I was like, fuck it. Save up a couple of, you know, some acts of moms for $10 and pops for $10 and you get $50 and give it to my sister and go get a double up. And next thing you know, shit, she in there cutting it up for me, or we cutting it up. And here, you sell this for $5, you sell this for $10, you sell this for $20. And now I'm on the block with 6 other niggas. You get me? Cars is coming through. You rushing the car. And everybody, hey, nigga, this, look at my shit. Nah, nigga, look at my shit. Nigga, my dubs is fatter than. So that's how I got introduced. Because at that time, that's how young black men were making their money.
It was consequences.
Niggas niggas wasn't on no, let me go get a job at Boys Market or some shit like that. Niggas was like, now I'm going to give me a double up 50, turn that to 100 and 120, and then I'm taking that 100 and go give me another one, and then I'm going to give me another. Next thing, I'm working my way up to 9 fucking ounces. That's my goal.
Well, we fail to realize that the way we was doing the shit and how we was doing the shit, it wasn't the right way. We was just out there ruthless with it. You know what I'm saying? That's why some of the cats that made it big, you know, those was the quiet cats. Those was the cats when the sun went down, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, they left Compton and went home.
Yes, sir.
They didn't serve no more. But we was grinding and we stayed out 3, 4, 5 in the morning. That's when everything come out. The police, your drive-bys, and because they knew everybody was going to run to that car and put their hand in there. And, you know, some niggas hear that pop. Pop, pop. You getting popped. Now you're dope and you got motherfucking smokers that was crafty popping your hand up because it's 10 niggas at the door trying to say they got the biggest shit. They pop their hand and drag your ass while they taking off. So cocaine fucked up a lot of shit. Not only our families, our homes, but it fucked off friendship with the homies, with your friends, your partners you grew up with. It fucked off everything because all the money that the neighborhood made, the neighborhood wasn't putting it back in the neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's when everybody, dads were going to prison. You know what I'm saying? You know, I remember when the Sherm came out. You know, my pops was in the motorcycle club. And we used to go to Salton Sea. And, man, when you see grown motherfucking men shermed out and riding dirt bikes through the sand and shit, it'll flip you out. And just how they act, they were shooting each other on these runs. One cat got his head shot off with a shotgun. But our pops was doing drugs and selling drugs way before us. And then the cocaine came. You know, they was using them long-ass Morris cigarettes and dipping in there, sucking in. And they was selling the motherfuckers, and motherfuckers was really tripping off of that shit. But then here come cocaine. So cocaine took us to another level. Like the kids today, they using these drugs. The shit they got today introduced me to cocaine anytime compared to the shit they using now and tripping. Having these cats fucking up now. So high and doing this unnecessary ass shooting shit is totally different from cocaine. So I don't know. I can't say it's a system. I can't say it's our fault that we constantly keep letting something or some type of drug ruin our neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's fucked up. It fucked up a whole bunch of shit. My introduction to it, and I'm thinking about it now, my introduction to it, actually first seeing it was around 86. Because I was with my cousin. But you know, you always got a cousin that's a little bit more advanced than you. Mm-hmm. I had a cousin that was already running up to Detroit back and forth by that time. And this nigga was just like getting money. He had come back in cars that made everybody else's shit look primitive. You know what I mean? He'd come back in some shit. You know, motherfucking 5.0s and just, you know, shit that niggas wasn't used to seeing in motherfucking Cleveland, Ohio. He had took me over to this one chick's house. And I remember he went over there. They was rolling. They was passing weed at first, you know, passing weed around. And she was in there over the stove cooking some shit. You know, shaking the motherfucking jar up and shit like that. Then she came out with some shit while she doing that. Her sister, I don't want to say their names on the thing, her sister went and got this other thing behind a bookshelf. It was on some toilet paper. And it was just a yellow thing. Then I saw them chop that shit up. They was rolling up more weed, and they was putting that shit in the weed. And they asked me if I wanted to hit it. I was like, I said, I'm good, because I wasn't smoking weed or nothing back then. You know what I mean? I'm just looking at this shit, though. And I remember seeing them hit that weed with that shit laced in it. They called them motherfuckers primos.
Right.
Primo, yeah.
I saw them smoke that shit. It wasn't like the regular weed, because they'd smoke that shit and get the nodding off and shit.
Niggas in the hood used to put it, mix it with cigarette.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Niggas was totally different. It was some niggas be on that Sherm.
Well, back then, though, you was cool. It wasn't the shit that they giving you today. This shit that when you start seeing niggas tweaking, like when I got out of prison, I saw one of the homeboys like on some buck-eyed bullshit. What the fuck is this nigga on? Cocaine was totally different. Now they stepping and stepping on the shit. And you constantly had to, my uncle is still like, he'll bug out. He'll stay home for a year, but he got to go bug out for 2 weeks. He got to bug out a week. And we all got somebody in our family that's on that shit and can't get off of it. And I don't know the reason why they got to get high. I don't know why they got to constantly keep doing it. But, you know, it's just there. It's there. And our family's still affected by this shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad I went to prison in 86 because I don't know where I would have been. A lot of us, a lot of cats that was smoking Primos and doing the hood shit, some of them cats didn't come out of it. But a lot of the real ones came out of it and pushed on and you know, doing their thing.
No, with y'all fellas.
I think that if you grew up in those type of areas, you know, the inner cities, the ghettos, the 70s, the 80s, you had somebody or some form of family, whatever,
right,
that had, you know, drugs. You know, I knew a lot of motherfuckers who did sherm. You get me? It was like, you don't do crack, but then homies in the hood smoke sherm. It was the cool thing to do. Fuck it. You get me? I never tried it. My thing was, I think I've seen so much shit behind it that I was one of those motherfuckers who felt like, because honestly, you know, you was considered a cluckhead if you did crack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It wasn't cool.
And then I would see people off of, you know, crack and shermed out and butt naked and just, so that always made me go, man, I don't want to do none of that shit.
That's like, how it was for me.
I smoked weed. That was my experience. I never tried anything else because basically I was scared to try anything else because when you got family members and people you see, you know, I guess at that time, you know, growing up in the hood around the 88, 89, it was, you know, you had the homies who did sherm, then you had the motherfuckers who did the crack and the pipe shit.
Man, I tried that, got the PCP one time. My homeboy Tim came to the house, right? We on the porch kicking it. And he said, I got this stick, man. Let's just smoke it. It's like, you know, I didn't even smoke cigarettes at that time. Mm-hmm. I was like, fuck it, light it up. So he lit the shit. I'm like, damn, that shit loud. Mm-hmm. So he passed it to me. I hit it. Then my homeboy Ron hit it. Next thing you know, I seen all kind of shit, right? So I'm on the top of the porch. And I'm fucked up. So I don't know what I saw, but I jumped off the porch with my hands spread it wide in the air. And I hit the ground. Bam! I had a knot on my head for about 6 months. The motherfuckers start growing hair, man. I never touched that shit again. I was, hey. And I know if y'all out there hearing that shit, I know y'all laughing like motherfuckers.
Motherfucker.
I swear to God, I thought I was like just on some, like I could fly shit.
Yeah, nigga, that
shit. I jumped.
That James said, nigga, I was on the porch. It was like, nigga, watch this shit.
And I jumped off the motherfucker.
Watch me fly around the hood right quick, all you motherfuckers.
Yeah, so I've experimented with it just like marijuana. You know, I smoked weed one time. My jaws got so fat and shit, and I got to clown with one of the homies. He didn't like it. Next thing you know, I'm jumping on this nigga because he's mad. So I didn't smoke weed no more. James never smoked weed again.
James got high. And
I couldn't
just
do
got
it.
The clown in a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, nigga.
Ain't feeling it.
He done pissed the nigga off.
Oh, man.
And then he probably laughing like a motherfucker on a joke.
Everything that I've tried, my experience with it is a motherfucker. Like, you know, just sitting in my house drinking. And, you know, one of my homeboys there, and we getting fucked up, and I'm drunk as a motherfucker. My girl used to bring me fucking half gallons of that goddamn gin. Mm-hmm. So I'm drinking my gin and Super Socko, but my homie over there looking at me stupid. Mm-hmm. So he got a little 25 and shit. I'm like, nigga, where you come in my house with a gun? What? Let me see that. So I took the gun. I'm drunk in the motherfucker, right? So I take the motherfucking gun, and I'm bah! And I shoot him. But I'm drunk as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm tripping off him because he hollering. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still drinking. And I grazed his shoulder and the nigga hollering and shit, so I told tell the little homie, fuck, go get this nigga some alcohol. So he go in the kitchen, in the bathroom, get the alcohol, put the alcohol and the Band-Aid on him. I told the nigga, shut the fuck up and get drunk. And we just got fucked up. But he had the opportunity to say, oh, nigga, you shot me, motherfucker. No, shut the fuck up, let's get drunk. So every experience I had, it was just way out for me. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't slow down on the liquor because I'm full blown now. That's all I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Is drinking like a motherfucker every day. I start off in the morning, I'm drinking 8-ball all day. I'm straight 8-ball.
And that 8-ball is a motherfucker.
I'm on that gin and Super Socko.
Yeah, Socko.
I'm fucked up, tripping.
I don't know how niggas drunk that Seagram gin with that Socko, and that Cisco was the worst shit ever, man. Every time I drunk Cisco, I blacked out.
Well, it all depends on how much you drink, though. If you're drinking it all day, you're going to black out.
And basically, like I said, if you was growing up in the hood, it was all about the budget.
Right.
You get me? We trying to budget. So we buying 40 ounces, we buying gin and Cisco. Motherfucker, you can go to Boys Market, get 2 fifths of gin for $11.
Right.
So gin, Christian Brothers, nigga, Hennessy and shit like that was rich man's drink.
I stayed once from the gin to the Hennessy. And I think the Hennessy is what gave me the diabetes.
Yeah. In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Thank you so much of that shit.
Probably so. They actually got a lot of sugar in it.
Yeah, me and my homeboy Shobo, rest in peace. We used to sit at the motherfucking dope spot and just drink bottles after bottles. Just get fucked up.
It's crazy how as a younger motherfucker, you don't even look at that shit.
Right.
Like, I'm getting fucked up every fucking day. But you don't even think about that shit. You know, you're getting high, niggas smoking sherm. Niggas is drinking like serious shit.
Right.
Like, as young niggas in the neighborhood, when you ought to have been on guard because of what everything was going on and the drive-bys and all that. But shit, niggas would be in the alley somewhere getting fuck the hell up every
getting
day.
Getting loaded, waking up on the porch, somebody waking you up, knocked out on your porch. You know, I mean, to me, I wouldn't change none of it. You know what
exactly.
I'm saying? Because without knowing what I was doing and how I did it, I wouldn't know what I know now. But, you know, it's a lot of cats out here today don't respect the drug they use.
Oh, no, there's motherfuckers out here that don't know what it is they're using. It's so dangerous right now. All them cats is on them pills. You take the wrong pill, they could be laced with that shit, that fentanyl and all kind
right.
of shit, man. So you don't know.
Right.
Motherfuckers got pill presses at home and make anything and then just, and they killing their customers off now. Motherfucker knowingly put that shit in there to try to stretch some shit and kill a whole bunch of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's definitely dangerous now, so.
Yeah, because they'll lace your shit with no problem, man. I just don't understand that process of the drug dealer. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, I sold James, whatever. But we were never to the point of where we like, nigga, let's fucking dip this weed in this sherm and then sell it to a nigga.
But see, they doing it,
and
though.
See how the fuck he act when yeah. he go home and roll
yeah,
this shit
they
up.
Doing it, though.
But nowadays, they'll be like, yeah, let's take this and mix it with this and then sell it to a nigga.
And the fucked up part about it, you know, you give a motherfucker some shit like that, or he go home, never wake up, or he kills somebody in his house. Because he flips the fuck out thinking he just smoking some regular weed. Next right. thing you know, he's seeing colors and hallucinations and shit and shoot up some shit. You know what I mean?
Well, Norm, at the end of the day, you got to look at it like this. We don't respect each other no more. So we don't give a fuck what we get the next cat. And it's all about making that money today. You know what I'm saying? And niggas, like back then, if a nigga went to jail today, he ain't got money for a lawyer or a bail. He ain't got no money. We don't think about the consequences. I'm going to do this today, but then tomorrow I gotta prove my innocence. You know, going to jail and, mm-hmm. and going to court and all that shit. We don't think. And the drugs, like the lean, you know, these niggas take that lean and be on the Percocet, you know, and, man, you lost. You can get robbed. You can get anything can happen to you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But we just don't give a fuck.
Not two fucks at all.
It's a lot of motherfuckers advocate for getting high today.
Right.
Get me. I don't think that we encourage the young homies under us to, yeah, nigga, go and hit that sherm, nigga, go ahead and do that crack. We didn't make it like where it was cool to do. I guess the fucking generation of the youth today and the rappers and the artists, you know, that's their niche. Let's make it cool to pop some Percocets. Let's make it cool to pop some, you know, it's the party drug now.
I think it's just a cycle with a different scenario, with a different drug. And it's going to stay in the hood. If it ain't the shit they use in the day, it's going to be some shit that they made up after that shit. Because once your system get used to this, a motherfucker wants something to really get him fucked up. You know what I'm saying? So they're going to try the next drug that come along. And it's in the hood. It's in the hood.
Let me ask y'all, do y'all think that it's controllable or uncontrollable for a person to go from smoking weed or drinking? Is it within yourself or is it out of control to where you feel a motherfucker have to go to the next level of wanting to get high? Because there's some cats, like you said, who tried weed and, oh, no, nigga, I don't want to try nothing else. I won't never try crack or sherm
right.
or whatever. And then there's some people who tried weed and go, oh, shit, I need to try sherm.
Right.
Or I need to try powder now. So is that the beast of not being able to control your high? Because me, I smoked weed, and because what I saw, what crack and sherm did to niggas, made me go, I'll never want to do that shit.
Oh, same here with me, because I didn't never want to try no shit that I couldn't stop doing. You feel what I mean? Like, I hit weed every once in a while, right? But it's not something that I have to have. I can go whatever. Like, it's not like...
Even, not to cut you off, even on the party drug shit, when motherfuckers started going around and bitches started taking
they ecstasy and all, like, yeah.
and all that shit, I never wanted to go, well, ecstasy make you fuck a bitch all night and you go all night.
See, all that
it
shit
never made me go, oh, I want to try that. That shit made me go, I'm scared of that shit.
Yeah, I'm scared of shit like that.
I mean, I wouldn't be scared of it. It's just the shit that's going on today. So if you can't keep up with the Joneses, then you'll never understand it. And that's why a lot of these chicks was getting caught up, because they didn't understand it. My sister and them, I tell them, put a napkin on top of your shit through your straw. Don't leave your drinks sitting there and then go out there dancing and shit, because there's cats out there that's with it like that, that will put something in your shit, the Visine. Remember back in the day we was using the Visine? Damn, I said we was using. Back in the days when they used Visine to knock a bitch out. You know what I'm saying? That was the cheapest shit to do, to put a female out. And those are hood parties.
Yeah.
Now you in the back seat, she don't even know it, getting her brains fucked out because the nigga done went bam on her. But the choices that we make, once we pass 18, 19, 21, now we got choices. We don't have to go to a or do this drug just because. The majority of the time, niggas did that same drug and wouldn't touch it because the homies, all the homies was on it. So just to be a part of that and feel like you one of the homies too, they did it. And those are the ones that took that drug harder than the ones that was already doing it. And he the one that's fucked up out of the whole litter. He's still on it. Everybody else had a chance to get out of that shit or walk away. But the ones that didn't do it and didn't want to do it and felt they had to do it, them the ones that got stuck. But we all got a choice on what drug we use, like myself. I tried PCP. I didn't like that shit. I kept a reminder on my motherfucking forehead what it did. I'm not doing that no more.
Exactly.
So those are choices that we can't blame the next nigga. You know what I'm saying?
So the motherfucker gave it to Alec Baldwin and then turned around and said the gun is free. It's ready.
So whoever passed him that gun and loaded
they
that...
They should be responsible.
They should go to jail.
The motherfucker saying the motherfucker who pointed it and pulled the trigger should be responsible.
No, he have no clue.
And they killed the motherfucker. On Thursday, Baldwin discharged a firearm while rehearsing a scene for the Western genre film, resulting in the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Now, that's fucked up. So somebody got killed.
Mm-hmm.
He should go to jail, because I think he about doing that shit on purpose, that sick bastard, because what he doing is you got to load the real fire, you know?
Right.
That means you really putting real bullets in here.
A real slug.
It's like us doing a skit. Hey, James, do this skit. We doing this skit together, and you pointing at A, or you pointing at me, and shoot me in the motherfucking leg for real, and I'm around there hollering and screaming. Whoever the motherfucker is that handed you that gun, his ass needs to get ass.
But you got to look at it. Everybody on that on the scene that's passing the props or whatever, it should be checked by more than one person. Who's ever in charge, more than one person should check every damn weapon or whatever just on GP. So the safety of everybody, the actors and whoever, they good because this shit been checked. You take all the clips out, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They should check it. But they
have a designated motherfucker who handles loading the gun, handing the gun to the actor or actress. So how do I know what you put up in this motherfucker?
Right. And
they just walk up and go, James, here you go. It's ready to go.
Right.
And then you go, okay, action. You point that motherfucker at Steele or me or whatever and shoot and bop.
But it kills, like you said, it kills everything else. If that prop gun go through three people, hands that checked it, if the first motherfucker loaded it with a live round, the second motherfucker gonna detect it.
For real.
The third motherfucker get it and say, okay, he can pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
So now you know that it's some bullshit going on.
Yeah, because how do this motherfucker keep getting jobs? It's like you fuck up on some shit like that the first time. How's he allowed on the set again?
Why they having live rounds on the set anyway?
Exactly.
Which is not supposed to happen.
Exactly.
So why is the armor guy, the guy or the armory or whoever, why is this a set? We got weapons on the set today. Why are there live rounds around
me? Period.
So hey, what you gonna say? Oh, I was out last night shooting a gun with live rounds, and today when I came to work, I forgot to check it for live rounds.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but you had to load the motherfucker right before you handed it to Alec.
Right.
So what did you do? And then, like you said, maybe it's some bullshit to where he going, fuck it. I'm going to put a live round in this motherfucker and let him pull the trigger.
I think that motherfucker's insane. I think he out there doing some crazy shit.
But then, like I said, there are people who are suggesting that the nigga get charged with manslaughter.
That Alex be charged?
Yes.
No, man. How would he, if he'd have known that they put a live one in it, then yeah. But that's accessory after the fact. But if he don't know, I'm only doing my job. I'm on the set. I'm doing a scene here.
Exactly.
It's not my fault. He wasn't supposed to. Was he playing with the damn gun?
It was a scene to where probably the cinematographer is shooting him, right? Action. Where he's just supposed to point the gun that way and pull the trigger. You see the sparks, you see the smoke, and then they cut.
Right.
He goes to probably the dude he shot who got hit.
Right.
So what they probably had was a glass setup with the camera lady behind the camera, and they go action. And I've done it in videos. Hold the gun right there by that motherfucker, and you pull the trigger. Bop.
Oh, goddamn, there go the budget, because her family need to be confiscated.
Oh, yeah, they gonna have
to. She about to get paid.
Yeah, she should get her money.
Well, that concludes another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. Be sure to download the iHeart app and subscribe to the Gangsta Chronicles podcast. For Apple users, find a purple mic on the front of your screen, subscribe to the show, leave a comment and rating. Executive producers for the Gangsta Chronicles podcast are Norman Steele, James McDonald, and Aaron MC8 Tyler. Our visual media director is Brian Wyatt, and our audio editor is Taylor Hayes. The Gangsta Chronicles is a production of iHeartMedia Network and the Black Effect Podcast Network. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.